Legbreakers by Tom Wainwright.
Of course, what happened with Michaela was unfortunate.
My name's Rachel Glass, and I've come to Legbreakers Yeovil, a Saturday morning performing arts club for young people, to see for myself what goes into making the stars of tomorrow.
I mean, I had no idea she had a historic conviction.
I join Legbreakers as they enter into the final few weeks of rehearsals for their forthcoming production of the musical Calamity Jane.
But then I guess that's what the DBS process is for.
I'm talking to school principal Bridget Maloney.
It's a shame because Michaela and I had a very productive working relationship. Something that I hope that I'll be able to replicate with you, Rachel.
Hello, Bridget. Only me.
Keith, music tutor.
You're not Michaela.
I'm Rachel.
My point exactly.
Rachel's taking over from Michaela.
Oakley-dokley-wokley.
Brother, yes.
Romeo, dance tutor.
Hi, Romeo.
Blessed love.
Hello, I'm Rachel.
You're not Michaela.
No.
Good to see you, Jamie. Alexa, nice trainers.
20 minutes later, the children are filing in.
George, don't do that.
And with them, a thin, short man in his 40s. He shows Bridget a card.
Colin Pratt, school inspector. I'm here to survey Legbreakers Yeovil.
Inspection? No, wait, you're supposed to give us 72 hours notice.
Not anymore.
He thrusts a piece of paper in Bridget's face. She scans it briefly.
Romeo! Key! Next door!
Okay, guys, we need to be on it today. There's been a spate of extracurricular Saturday morning performing arts conservatoires in the southwest region being shut down recently. I do not want us to be the next. Now, there's no need to panic. Just do what you normally do. Yeah. Pretend it's any other day. So what are your lesson plans, guys? Keith?
Sure. So, in music, we'll start with some sirens. And then we'll get the larynx loosened up with what I call the egg. Then some diaphragm control work, basically like this.
Keith,
I don't need to know everything, mate, just as long as you know what you're doing.
Huh.
Romeo?
Yo.
What's the plan?
No plan.
What do you mean, no plan?
No plan, just vibes.
Take breath, Bridget. Look, guys, I don't really care what you do, as long as Inspector Gantrett over there sees that we're providing a safe and nurturing environment for the children to express themselves in, free from bullying or intimidation of any kind, and encapsulated by a general culture of mateness.
Keith and Romeo stare blankly at Bridget.
Guys?
Could you just say all that again?
I said I don't really care.
While Bridget repeats her instructions to Keith and Romeo, I ask Pratt what he's looking for in his inspection.
Pastoral care. Many young people suffer dreadful psychological and emotional abuse at the hands of their peers in environments like these.
In Saturday morning drama club.
Trauma hubs.
I'm sorry?
Drama is trauma.
Bridget emerges from the classroom and addresses the children.
Now then, leg breakers, we've got a special guest with us today. Mr. Pratt. Cut it out. Mr. Pratt will be observing today.
Is Mr. Pratt an inspector?
Hands up if you've got a question, Brian.
Is he, though? My dad says inspectors are a bunch of...
Can't a girl finish her sentence without being interrupted, Brian? Now, I want you all to show Mr. Pratt what an inclusive, supportive and generally awesome bunch you are today.
Just imagine that I am not here. That I'm... invisible.
Weird.
As the children file into their respective music, drama and dance sessions, I notice Bridget staring intensely at the back of the inspector's head. I ask her if she's okay.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not fine at all. I just want everything to be okay today. It doesn't have to be amazing. Just okay, like life, I guess. These are my kids. I haven't got any of my own, so I guess this is as close as I'm going to get. And the thought that some guy, some stranger with a tablet can just come in and take it all away if he wants, it makes me...
anxious? Insecure?
Makes me want to kick him like a dog!
Okay.
Egg, 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 everybody!
Later that morning, Pratt and I watch Keith delivering a solid workshop of vocal exercises.
Sha! Sha!
However, things go a little awry at the midway point when Keith insists that Henry, who is playing Francis Fryer in Legbreakers' forthcoming production of Calamity Jane, performs his solo song, Hive Full of Honey, in front of the group.
Come on, Henners, are you a man or a mouse?
I'm a boy who has to play a man impersonating a woman, singing in falsetto, in a dress and high heels, and I don't want to do it.
You feel silly?
Yes.
Like you're going to be humiliated?
Yes.
Well, it's possible, but on the other hand... Yeah, everybody sit down. I want to tell you a story. You know, Henry, when I was your age and like you, a bit chubby, people would laugh at me.
Then what happened?
Well, it definitely contributed to some periods of alcohol dependency in later life. And whether it was that or the breakup of my marriage or whether it was that that caused the breakup, I don't know.
What's your point?
What's my point? Good question. What is my point? Rachel, what's my point?
I don't know, Keith.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, well, look at me now. Still living the dream. I've got my music, got you guys. It's great. Sorry, Henry, that was supposed to be a kind of motivational speech, but it didn't really work, did it?
No.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Let's just do the song, shall we?
Okay.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mr. Henry, what's your surname?
Henderson.
Really?
Yes.
Mr. Henry Henderson!
I've got two wonderful arms, I've got two wonderful legs, I'm over 21 and I'm free! Oh, I've got a heart full of honey, full of the right kind of honeybee. I told you they'd laugh at me!
Keith then notices that Mr. Pratt is furiously scribbling away.
Of course you understand, Mr. Pratt, that we weren't laughing at Henry.
Do I?
We were laughing with.
Laughing with?
Oh, yes. It was definitely a laughing with scenario.
And you can tell the difference.
Anyone can tell the difference.
Could he?
No, but...
Keith, can I have a word?
Yeah, absolutely.
I follow Keith outside.
What were you thinking? I've got Henry in floods of tears thinking everyone's laughing at him. And you do that on inspection day?
You said pretend it's any other day.
Well, don't. Pretend it's inspection day. And if you screw up, we all lose our jobs.
OK, I think I might be starting to panic.
You don't need to panic.
No, it's definitely a panicking scenario.
Mate, it's fine. Okay. Just from now on, do not take any risks. Do you understand?
I understand.
Yeah. What the hell?
In dance, Sebastian is being heckled off the stage by the entire group. Pravina dances in his face and holds her hand in an L shape on her forehead, a sort of colloquial sign language meaning loser.
Late breakers, yowful, I demand silence immediately!
Romeo, can I have a word, please?
I follow Romeo and Bridget back outside, where we encounter Keith, gazing into the middle distance. He clearly hasn't moved from the spot where we left him.
Keith, what are you doing here?
What are any of us actually doing here?
Go back into your classroom and teach your kids.
Yeah, sure thing.
Romeo, what on earth was all that about?
Bridge, it's cool. We were just doing a Calamity Jane-themed dance-off, hoedown-style, winner stays on, survival of the fittest thing. You feel me?
No, mate, I do not feel you. I've already had Henry in tears and Angelica requesting to see a therapist. Just keep it simple, OK? Make it all about trust and togetherness. You got that?
Okay. Everything all right?
And now Pratt joins the impromptu meeting.
Everything's fine, mate. I'm just feeding back to Romeo mid-session. I always feed back to my staff in situ to ensure the highest standards are not only met, but surpassed on a regular basis.
And who is supervising your lesson?
I am. Bye.
Pratt and I follow Romeo back into the dance studio, where he seems to have taken Bridget's instructions quite literally. He has all the children sit in a circle, in silence.
We're just going to sit and feed off each other's energy. Feel that trust. Feel that togetherness.
After 10 minutes of feeling the trust and togetherness, Portia raises her hand. Romeo ignores her.
Romeo, can I speak?
Shoot.
What's going on?
What is going on?
I don't know. You're the teacher.
Am I?
Yes.
You know, a wise man once said to me, to teach is to learn. You know what else he said?
To learn is to teach.
Yeah, how'd you know that?
Mr. Pratt gets up and walks out. Outside, I ask why he left so abruptly.
He's just sitting there, doing absolutely nothing, talking utter rubbish. I mean, where's he supposed to be from?
I think he's from Reading.
Ridiculous.
Yo, Mr. Pratt, where are you going?
I am going to observe Bridget's drama session.
But you didn't get to see any of my work.
Oh, I saw quite enough, I can assure you.
Oh. Yo, Rachel, what did I do?
I think it's more that you weren't really doing anything.
I was doing what Bridget told me.
She told you to do that?
She said keep it simple.
I see.
I don't want to lose my job. I'm such an idiot.
I leave a pensive Romeo and follow Pratt into Bridget's drama session, where I find her in exemplary form.
Remember, Sally, always face the audience. When did you last hear that famous old saying that the back is the window to the soul?
Exactly. Never.
Full of positive feedback.
Jamie, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't like that. I loved it!
And constructive criticism.
Drama is like a game of Aussie rules. You got to balance the space. You can't drop the ball, but you can bounce it every 10 metres. In fact, you have to. Otherwise, you lose the ball altogether. And that, my friends, is jeopardy. And as we all know, there's no drama without jeopardy.
The children hang on Bridget's every word, inspiration writ large on their eager faces. So I'm surprised when, looking over Mr. Pratt's shoulder, I notice he has written something critical. His response, when I query this, is also a little odd.
I don't appreciate having you hovering over my shoulder.
I'm just interested that you've written that Bridget has no control, when it strikes me that perhaps the opposite is true.
Does it?
Yes.
Anyway, you've got it all wrong. NO is an acronym. NO stands for Necessary Operative Control. So, actually, it is the opposite of what you're saying.
Okay.
Guys, if you want to check, can you do it outside? We're trying to work here.
I haven't finished observing.
Oh, yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Did you just say no to me?
Nobody says no to Bridget Chamberlain.
I'm sorry, are you mocking me?
All of a sudden, Mr. Pratt blushes and begins to stammer.
I didn't say anything.
You just called me Bridget Chamberlain. I changed my name to Maloney 20 years ago when I came to the UK. How do you know my old name?
It's in the notes.
The notes?
I was given.
Have we met?
Of course not. I don't think so, have we?
Look familiar.
Well, I've seen enough for this session. Thank you, Miss Maloney.
I follow Pratt out the classroom into the deserted seating area.
Is it strictly necessary to follow me everywhere?
Yes, you're the story.
The what?
The story.
Mr. Pratt, come and see what we're doing, baby boy. It's all gravy.
It's what?
Box fresh.
I don't understand a word this man is saying.
I don't think anybody does. We accept Romeo's invitation to rejoin him in the main hall and watch him construct an elaborate series of trust exercises.
Beautiful, baby. The trust, the togetherness.
The first involves a single child, eyes closed, in the middle of a circle, falling randomly, while the children around them take their weight and return them to the centre.
Lean, catch, feel the love.
You're Mr. Pratt. Do you want to come into the circle of love?
No, thank you.
Romeo then attempts a more ambitious exercise, in which Portia is hoisted above her classmates' heads and invited to swim in any direction.
Swim, baby, swim!
I don't feel comfortable.
You're fine, baby. Trust in the togetherness.
I'm falling!
You're swimming, baby!
No, I'm actually falling! Freddy, let go of my arm!
Portia does, in fact, fall onto the floor, and because Freddy still has hold of her arms, she cannot protect her face, which takes the full impact of the landing. When she sits up, blood is pouring from her nose.
What the hell is going on?
Bridget, I was just trying the trust and togetherness thing like you told me.
Oh, give me a cloth, will you?
Take my shirt.
No.
It's... Romeo removes his shirt and holds it to Portia's gushing nose.
Is there lots of blood?
Oh, no, honey, it's just a little nosebleed. No drama.
Oh, my God, what's happened to your face? There's blood everywhere. Why is Romeo taking his top off?
At this point, matters take an unexpected turn when Helen, a middle-aged woman with dark hair and a kindly, piercing gaze, walks into the room.
Hello there. I hope this isn't a bad time.
No, mate, it's a great time. And you are?
My name's Helen Back. I'm from the school's inspectorate.
I'm sorry, there must be some mistake.
No mistake. I'm inspecting Mr. Pratt's inspection.
That's me!
Hello.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Ooh. Forgive me, I'm Bridget Maloney, principal of Legbreakers Yeovil. I'd shake your hand, but I've got Portia's blood all over it.
Not a problem.
Is this some sort of a joke?
No.
Because I'm not laughing.
That's because it's not a joke.
The plot thickens.
I was given no warning of this whatsoever.
Neither was Bridget.
The plot twists.
Can you please shut up?
Helen, I am Romeo.
Hello, Romeo. Why aren't you wearing a shirt?
the children break for lunch, Bridget, Romeo and Keith sit on one side of the seating area and Mr. Pratt on the other.
Mr. Pratt, you're welcome to join us.
No, thank you.
Suit yourself.
Romeo is now wearing a branded Leg Breakers t-shirt, which, made for a 14-year-old girl, is several sizes too small for him. Helen sits with the children, asking open questions.
What do you like about Leg Breakers?
Bridget, she's my favourite. She's funny and she's nice, and she's really good at teaching drama.
And how about Keith?
Well, he's a bit of a nutter. We call him Crazy Keith. But my mum says everyone's mad, really. I'm Henry, by the way.
Nice to meet you, Henry.
Helen then turns her attention to Portia, who holds Romeo's t-shirt to her bloodied nose.
Oh, that looks sore, darling.
I'll be okay.
You're very brave. Henry was just telling me about Keith. Sounds like a nice guy.
Bit mental, but yeah, we like him.
Maybe you could tell me a bit about Romeo.
Well, I don't really understand what he's saying most of the time, but he's always friendly. My dad says he's got identity issues, but that's normal for people from Reading. Would you like a WhatsApp?
Oh, thank you.
It's then that I notice Mr. Pratt whispering something into Brian's ear. Whilst pointing across the room at Henry, Helen notices this too and goes over to Pratt.
Mr. Pratt, you know you shouldn't really be having direct contact with the children. It's against protocol.
Oh, but it's okay for you to share WhatsApps with Portia?
Yes.
Double standards.
I'm not inspecting Leg Breakers, I'm inspecting you.
That is so unfair.
What is?
Everybody's ganging up on me.
Who is?
You, Bridget, Rachel.
I'm sorry you feel like that.
No, no you're not. Nobody cares how I feel. They pretend they do, but at the end of the day, nobody cares.
Okay, Leg Breakers, rotation time. Those of you who were with Romeo, you're going to Keith, and if you were with Keith, you're coming to me.
Portia, you're going to be okay to continue?
I think so, yes.
Good girl.
Romeo, here's your shirt.
Keep it, baby.
I don't want it.
I follow Helen and Pratt back into Bridget's drama class, where again I find myself in complete admiration of Bridget's ability to facilitate a concise and energising drama workshop in the midst of what is an increasingly tense environment.
Now, let's get that Wild West swagger on. Yeah, chew in that tobacco. Let me see that. Let me see it.
An hour of highly focused character work ensues.
Now, as you make eye contact, try a little howdy, partner. Come on, don't be shy.
Howdy, partner.
Howdy, partner. Good job, Henry. Great swagger there, Brian. Does he look mean? All right, he's squaring up to Henry. Good. We got a gunslinging standoff going on.
You got a problem, mister?
Yeah, I got a problem.
Great impro, guys. We're going to roll with this. Everyone, gather around.
I hear you've been talking about me.
Brother, I don't even know your name.
Great comeback, Henry.
But you still want to shoot your mouth off about me? Son, I'm going to shoot you in the face.
Okay, Brian, mate, I appreciate that's in the spirit, but maybe tone it down a little.
Brian then grabs Henry by the throat.
Bridget, can we stop the improv, please? It's hurting.
Okay, Brian, that's enough now. Let him go. I'll let him go of this little yeller till he apologises.
Brian, it's really hurting.
Brian, let him go, mate. That ain't hurting. This is hurting.
Brian aims a series of blows at Henry, none of which land. Bridget and Helen immediately pull him away. Whilst Bridget restrains a furious Brian and Helen comforts a shell-shocked Henry, I notice Pratt sniggering.
I'm sorry, what's funny about any of this?
Oh, nothing.
Then why are you laughing?
Symmetry.
Brian, what the hell was that all about? He said I looked like a girl.
No, I didn't, but I should have. You punch like a girl.
Cut it out, the pair of you. Oh, tell me you're not writing that down.
Sexism.
They're 11 years old.
So was I.
I could wring your neck, you little... What was that?
What? Nothing.
Yeah, you just said...
If I were you, I'd be more concerned by the fact that you've just threatened a school's inspector.
Oh, you think that's threatening a school's inspector? You little cockroach. I'll show you threatening a school's inspector.
Bridget turns her attention back to Henry.
Is this true, mate? Did you use genderphobic language with regard to Brian? Yes or no?
No.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Brian, what did he actually say to you?
He didn't say anything to me. He's too much of a coward. He said stuff about me.
I didn't. How do you know?
He told me.
Brian points directly at Pratt. The room goes silent.
Well, Pratt, did you?
Of course not.
Brian's many things. Gluten intolerant, homeschooled, overly attached to his mother, but he's no liar.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Henners, did you really not say I looked like a girl?
Of course not, Brycey. You're a strapping, handsome young fella with his whole life ahead of him.
Well, you're looking pretty swish yourself.
Okay, guys, you don't need to have this conversation now. You, Pratt... You've got some explaining to do.
No, I don't.
But he does. And I'm faced with a time-sensitive dilemma. Should I break the code of journalistic impartiality by revealing that I witnessed Pratt whispering in Brian's ear? Or maintain strict objectivity by keeping quiet and allowing Pratt's meddling to go unhindered? I opt for the former.
Bridget, I did see Mr. Pratt whispering in Brian's ear at lunch break and pointing at Henry.
No, you didn't!
Yes, she did. So did I. That's when I said you shouldn't be talking to students.
He whispered in my ear and said Henry had been making the others laugh by getting them to imagine me naked.
That is not true!
Yes, it is, you loathsome pug.
Sounds like Mr. Pratt's been stirring the poo pot.
I'd advise you to tell the truth immediately, Colin.
I am telling the truth.
You are fake news.
Shut up.
We don't use that sort of language at Lake Breakers.
Time to come clean, Colin.
Oh, come on. You're not going to take his word over mine, are you?
Why are you talking Australian?
I'm not. Stop picking on me.
She's not picking on you.
You all are.
You are an Australian.
No, I'm not. Leave me alone.
I know you. I know you.
No, you don't.
Fat man Pratt.
Pratt falls to the ground and writhes in agony.
Excuse me.
That'd be.
Bridget stands over him and bellows aggressively into his cowering face.
Fat man Pratt. Who ate all the pies? It was fat man Pratt.
Oh, please.
We used to pick on you. I used to pick on you at drama club in Brisbane when I was 12 years old. You were so fat. Look at you now.
You ruined my life.
I ruined your... Mate, are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
I was a kid, I was just doing what kids do.
Oh, is that what kids do? Do they make Michelle Hargreaves laugh by getting her to imagine me naked?
Did I do that?
Yes, you did.
I just don't remember.
Well, I do, and so does Michelle.
Mate, I haven't thought about you once since then.
I haven't stopped thinking about you. I hated that drama club, but my thespian mum and dad, God rest their souls, made me go. You made my life a misery.
What are you doing here?
Righting a wrong.
You followed me here to Yeovil from Queensland?
After I got thin, I made it my life's mission to shut down as many of these hives of despair as possible.
So you're the guy? The guy that's been going round getting Saturday morning extracurricular performing arts conservatoires shut down?
Yes, I'm the guy. Me. I moved to the UK. I got my school's inspector with accreditation and I began to work my way steadily west until I got to you. And now, at the last, I have been foiled. I always was a loser.
That explains your presence, Helen.
Actually, no. It was pure coincidence that I was here to inspect him. And actually, Mr. Pratt, if you'd have just stuck to your guns, it would have been your word against Brian's. And while I did have some reservations with the way you conducted your inspection... You would have succeeded in your stated aim of having Leg Breakers Yeovil shut down, had you not fallen to the floor in a crumpled heap just now and started crying when Bridget chanted that ditty.
Colin. It is Colin, isn't it?
Yes.
Mate, I'm so sorry for the hurt that I caused you.
It was intolerable.
I was a kid, and I had some stuff of my own going on. My dad, I was angry. If it hadn't been you, it would have been someone else.
But it wasn't someone else, it was me.
Yes, it was you, and I'm sorry. Yeah, it's okay. You can cry.
No, I don't want...
Come on, hug it out, mate. Hug it out. Tears are welcome, tears are welcome.
Pratt proceeds to sob uncontrollably into Bridget's bosom.
You want to go there? Okay, you just... Great. Has anyone got a Kleenex?
Bridget strokes Pratt's hair as she cradles his head in her lap. Surrounded by children, the scene takes on a somewhat biblical aspect.
Leg Breakers, I want you to see the effect bullying can have. You might think like I did that picking on someone can just be a harmless bit of fun. And that as that person grows up, they'll move on, gain a sense of perspective maybe, or just, you know, chill out. Some people don't. This guy didn't. Look at him now. Crying like a baby in front of a room full of children.
Bridget!
Yes, Portia?
My mum's here. Is it okay to go?
What time is it?
One.
Already? Wow! Okay, Leg Breakers, time's up. You can all go. That was an eventful one, eh?
The children file out and climb into their parents' cars. By now, Pratt has been helped to his feet and is saying his goodbyes.
Bridget! Thank you. And, I'm sorry.
Oh, Colin, it's I who's sorry. I hope this episode will provide closure of some sort.
I hope so too.
What will you do?
Get the first flight back to Queensland. There's nothing left for me here.
Colin, I have to ask.
How did you get so thin?
I had my stomach stapled.
Oh. Yo, Mr. Pratt.
Romeo. Brother, life is a dance floor. Keep dancing. Cha-cha.
Romeo does a quick ball change and Bear hugs the little Pratt.
See you later, Pratt.
Oh, listen, me old mucker. You look like you're in a bit of a mess. Would you like half a bottle of cough mixture? It's the drowsy stuff. Take the edge off. Apparently it's what the rappers drink.
No, thank you, Keith. That's very kind of you. Goodbye, Helen.
Goodbye, Colin. I have to warn you, I will be reporting this episode.
Helen, could you please not mention what happened here? The guy needs a fresh start.
I'll think about it. Colin?
But Pratt is gone, slinking across the playground car park to his faded three-door Nissan Micra. Just as he opens the driver's side door, some children yell,
Fat Man Pratt! Fat Man Pratt! Who ate all the pies? It was Fat Man Pratt!
Herlock, cut it out!
It's the last thing Pratt hears before he begins his, one would imagine, lonely journey back to Australia.
Helen, I can assure you, it's not normally like this.
Take your word for it. I do have to say that, based purely on what I saw today, irrespective of Pratt, had I been inspecting leg breakers, I would have recommended its immediate closure. But I wasn't, so I'm not going to.
I truly appreciate your honesty.
Goodbye, Bridget.
As Bridget stacks up the chairs alone, I approach her with the intention of asking for her reflections on what has been a tumultuous day. She turns to face me, eyes thick with emotion. I wave gently. She blinks, and heavy tears cascade down her freckled, wise face. I leave her in peace, ruminating on the heady, vulnerable, intense experience that childhood is. The best of times, the worst of times, the shortest of times. In Leg Breakers by Tom Wainwright, Bridget was played by Rebecca Staton, Rachel by Sarah Ovens, Keith, Jeremy Swift, and Romeo by Thos Wainwright. Inspector Pratt was played by Samuel James, Helen by Helen Clapp, and the children by Elspeth White, Aaron Gelkoff, Rosie Bohr, and Amy Jane Lee. Musical accompaniment was provided by Colin Sell, and the director was Sasha Yevtushenko.